What's up, y'all? It's your girl, Melanie Charles, a.k.a. D Flower.
And it's your girl, Uni Mojica, a.k.a. Uni Mo.
Yes, and we're very excited today because we got a very special guest. Like, we're so hype. Uni, let the people know what's going on today.
Yes, y'all aren't ready because we have an incredible special guest for y'all today. The incomparable, the talented, the beautiful, the gorgeous alto saxophonist, vocalist, educator, developed her own curriculum, native New Yorker, period. Give it up for none other than Orange Coffee, aka Caddy Rodriguez.
Hell yes!
Excited to be here. Thank y'all. I am a huge fan, just FYI. It's funny because the first time I ever ran into Melanie that I remember, I was like, I'm such a fan. And she was like, you know, we went to the same school. And I was like, what?
It's funny because, like, I always looked up to you. And, you know, people ask me who I look up to. And I don't know. I'm Haitian. So we're not raised, like, to look up to, like, people. Like, you look up to your mom, your grandma. You don't look up to outside people. Yeah. But I must say, being a LaGuardian, a freshman, I remember talking about Cat, she's so dope. You were in Mr. Blanc's in jazz band, right? With Mr. Blanc, right?
I was in jazz band with Mr. Stewart.
Oh, right. So you was in that era.
Yeah. And then Mr. Foster came and did it was a bridge. And then somebody else came and then I don't know what happened.
But your reputation is so strong that I feel like you were always like a legend in LAG. I feel like even probably now to this time, people are still talking about you. So it was really inspiring running into you in the scene as more of an adult now and just like seeing all the amazing things that you're doing and seeing that you're singing. Because I always loved your voice. Remember I told you when I ran into you in front of New Blue, I was like, your voice is so like chef's kiss, like so rich, you know? And so, I don't know, I feel like I'm jumping ahead of the gun and I'm definitely fangirling you, but like, it's really inspiring to see your journey and see all the amazing things that you're doing and to know that we kind of came from a similar place. It gives me hope. You know what I'm saying?
Well, I'm from Brooklyn and in my building, 318 Rochester, literally everyone was Haitian. So FYI, that was like across the street was Lincoln Terrace Park. And that's where the West Indies parade starts every year, which I got lost in one year. So definitely there's a lot there that just combines. Just, you know, we definitely, our ancestors definitely jumped off that boat right after each other. So
look, speaking of ancestors, because your last name is Rodriguez. So you're Dominican or Puerto Rican?
I'm Puerto Rican, but actually my daddy messed up. So my last name is not really Rodriguez. I never really talk about this since he said your last name is Rodriguez. My last name really is Tirado. But there's something in Spanish culture that's like, you know, it's Jose, Espirito Jose Rodriguez Tirado. Like you have like five or six names, right? Okay. So my daddy, now I can say this because, you know, he done passed. He done married another woman before he married my mama. And he never dealt with that. Mm-hmm. And me back in the 80s, they didn't say, let me see your papers and let me see your papers. It was just put your name down. And
right,
he put
right.
His name down that he gave my mama.
Oh.
Him, Jose Rodriguez. And so from that day on, there was a Caddy Rodriguez, but my real name should be Katy Tirado.
Tirado.
Yeah.
I love that.
I never fixed it because it was just, it became
part of you.
Yeah, part of my story, but pretty cool. One day I'll go into it.
Wow. Thank you for sharing that. Yeah. I had a similar experience with my dad. My dad did mysterious things. So like my mom named my brother Rogers, R-O-G-E-R-S-T, after what she thought my dad's name. But his name is really Jewel. So I'm like, bro, I tease my brother. I'm like, bro, that's not even really supposed to be your name, bro. Like, R.I.P. to our crazy dads. But, you know, it's crazy, but look, we're here and, you know.
Yeah, and he loved me. Like, I love my, like.
Well, he introduced you to the music, right?
He bought my clarinet from a Craighead for $10.
Wow.
Like, I wouldn't have been here if it would have been for my dad going to the party and be like, yo, my daughter wants to play, but I can't afford an instrument. And the Craighead was like, all right, I'll see you tomorrow.
Wow.
It's not the same place, you know what I mean?
Wow, yeah.
It was just, he made it happen one way or another.
Shout out to Pops.
Shout out to Pops. Mm-hmm. You know, we, like I said, so we both went to LAG, but also you went to New School too, right?
Yes.
So there's that. And just recently, the community, we all just really suffered a deep loss. Mm-hmm. And a brother, an incredible musician, sweet person. He touched so many lives. He's an angel now watching over us, Casey Benjamin, a.k.a. Stutz McGee. Mm-hmm. And I think we've all been reflecting lately about just what it means to be in community with each other, how we engage with time, our dreams, like accomplishments versus like, are you a good person? You know what I mean? Like all of those complexities. Mm-hmm. I would love to hear, did you have a friendship with Casey? Like, what was your Casey Benjamin experience?
It's funny because you told me how you walked into LaGuardia and everybody was talking about Cathy Rodriguez. And for me, I remember walking into LaGuardia and everybody was talking about Casey Benjamin. You know, that was the legend. He was the legend. He was the person that was leading LaGuardia High School of Performing Arts big band in all of the Duke Ellington competitions. We were reigning, like we were the big dogs back in the day. And I'm talking about now, back in the day, 1990 something, okay? Mm-hmm. I'm dating myself. And so I remember saying, I want to go to that competition. I want to be a part of that. But it's funny because I wasn't playing saxophone yet. I was playing classical clarinet.
Okay.
I went to LaGuardia for classical clarinet and flute, actually.
Oh.
Okay, my butt. But I was doubling on clarinet and flute. And so second year, or going into my second year, I went to an after-school program for Harlem School of the Arts. And
I went to Harlem School of the Arts, too.
Oh, my God. Y'all just...
We did the music school circuit.
Right.
The New York music school circuit. And it was free. For me, it was because it was free. I couldn't afford it. I couldn't afford a teacher. And so there I met Lakeisha Benjamin. And she was like, you should play saxophone. And we became close friends. And I was like, mm-hmm. Took me a couple of months. And that's how I started playing saxophone. Because she was like, you should be second alto in the band. And that's how I started.
Yes.
Oh my God, I have goosebumps. That's such a cute story.
I love that alto sis.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah.
So if it wouldn't have been for her, I wouldn't play alto. But going back to Casey, he was what we measured ourselves up to be. So after Casey was this cat named Brandon Miller. I don't even know if he still plays saxophone. Was Aziza Miller, piano player. And she was known in the Harlem scene. But then, let's see. And after that was Lakeisha Benjamin. She was lead alto. And then right after her was me.
Hey.
And it was this legacy that we knew was hard to follow up because he was Casey. Like, nobody could touch him. And I still remember graduating college and going to see... Before Robert Glasper Experience, there was this thing called Hip Hop Meets Jazz at the Up Over Jazz Cafe, which is no longer there.
Okay, wait, was it a venue or a series? Hip Hop?
It was a venue. The series Hip Hop Meets Jazz. So the venue was called Up Over Jazz Cafe, and the Chicken Wagon place is still there. There's a Wing Wagon place on Flatbush, like going to the Botanical Gardens, and right on top of that Wing Wagon place was a place called, I just said it.
Up Over Cafe.
Up Over Jazz Cafe. And there was this thing called Hip Hop Meets Jazz, and Robert Glasper, Keon Harrell, Greg Hutch, Bilal, we would do a thing there. And wow. I would come in and I would sit in, I remember. And that's where I met Casey. And I remember many a times where he would get up on that stage and I'd be like, nah, I don't want to play. I'm just going to sit down and observe, okay?
I'm going to take this lesson tonight.
Yeah. This is a session, okay? Let me sit down and learn, okay? Yeah. And then, you know, he became, you know, family member, uncle. He actually was a DJ for my son's 16th birthday.
Mm. Oh, how sweet. Yeah. I loved his DJing. He was one of my favorite DJs.
That part. What I loved about Casey was that he was different than everybody else. And he didn't care about what anybody else had to say about him.
Yes.
When he came out on the scene, you know, by the time people now know him, he's a legend for what he's done. And so he's like, what? He's dope, blah, blah, blah. But when he came out on the scene, it wasn't popular to be like him. It wasn't it was called metrosexual.
He was definitely ahead of his time. His V-neck that he used to wear. Like, come on, Casey, with the V-neck.
No, not the metrosexual. I forgot about that.
It was called being metrosexual.
Yes.
And so it was a lot. He would come out with the V cuts. Mm-hmm. Oh, he would be like he would get all the girls, right?
All the girls.
He was he was the prince. He was the prince.
He was like Prince.
Scene, right?
Absolutely.
And I love the fact that he brought also different types of music. I also think that there's certain people that look down on you if you bring certain types of music in, and he didn't care. Like for my son's birthday, like the video that I'm showing, I'm dancing, I'm in love with that Coco. And he's like, going in. He brought different things that sometimes were looked down upon, and now everybody's trying to do it.
Mm-hmm. Everybody's trying He's a trailblazer.
Yeah. I remember Heavy. I was a huge fan of Heavy. Mm-hmm. And I just feel like a lot of groups around that time started coming out, like the boy girl sort of like fusion jazz, hip hop, pop groups. And I was like, wow, like he's influencing so many people. People who don't even realize that their influences are coming from things that he's done. And when people, a lot of, you know, I did a show the other day at the Blue Note, and I was like, we're going to take some time to talk about my friend Casey Benjamin, because y'all talking about Robert Glasper. Yeah, he's cool. But like one of the instrumental elements of what made Robert Glasper's project so special was Casey Benjamin.
That's right. That sound.
Yes. That glass ceiling of merging hip hop and jazz and just being adventurous in experimenting with the sounds on his saxophone and using pedals and vocoders and all that kind of stuff. Nobody was doing that but him.
Nobody was doing
that. And people were afraid to, and he was fearless.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. Right. So I think we all are really proud to have had our Casey Benjamin encounters, you know, and we love you, Casey, wherever you are. I always wonder, like, after the afterlife, do we know, like, do people feel, does the spirit feel how much people miss you? Yeah. You know what I mean? I wonder if he knows. I hope he feels, wow, people really did fuck with me. Cause sometimes in life you go, you never know really if people really fuck with you or not, bro.
I think that this is just outside, right? Mm-hmm. How we feel this energy that we can feel through a camera, this energy that when we see a picture, when we hear music, it's there. Whether we, obviously the void is there. I know that I cried a lot, and there's a lot of people like, man, you wasn't even in his circle like that right now. But like you said, Casey touched so many people.
Yeah.
And being that energy is undeniable. And the fact that he can touch so many people, and so many people are dumbfounded about the fact that he's not here. I thought it was just like, y'all lying, right? It's just April Fool's. Like, somebody's going to say that this is a joke. Because it just doesn't add up, you know?
Yeah.
But I think that once that soul goes from this space, it goes somewhere else it shows that it's here. In ways that you're like, oh, if you're just
like different planes.
Mm-hmm. I love that.
Ooh, rest in peace, Casey.
Rest in peace, Casey.
Yeah.
This episode is dedicated to you. Amen. I love you.
I love you.
He's our ancestor now.
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
He's a light that now when we look up or when we see it, it's there. Mm-hmm. R.I.P.
Yeah. Speaking of ancestors, Uni and I, we've been talking a lot about like jazz education, like the complexities of that. And like, I think what since we talked about New School and all this, so you did the circuit, right? Mm-hmm. There's something that I'm curious for you. How did you feel about jazz school or music education being a student? How have you felt about it later on in life when you're teaching and creating a whole curriculum versus now where I think you're really focusing on your artistry and you're giving time and energy towards that? Where does, how is your relationship with music education change? Mm-hmm. For some people, it's complicated. Where are you at with it?
Yeah, and adding that you're able to pour, you have been pouring into the next generation too. So mm-hmm. there's so many perspectives that you have. You have the full spectrum. So mm-hmm. we want to hear from you in terms of what you went through, how that affected you, and how you've been changing that.
Okay. So for me, I come from humble beginnings. I was raised in a one-bedroom apartment, so we didn't have a lot of money. So like I said, my dad bought a clarinet from a crackhead because we didn't have a lot of money. So education was like, look, if I get you this teacher to teach you for free, you better show up. Like, you got to practice because this teacher is teaching you for free. And I'm going in to whatever, clean or volunteer or whatever it is I'm paying this teacher some way for you to come in and show up. And so that was something that I don't think I understood until later, because I did drag my feet. I hated practicing. A lot of people don't talk about that. I think that people talk about, oh, I love practicing. I was in there for that. I wish I had that. I was motivated by my dad a lot. Because one of the reasons was because I really wanted to be a dancer and a singer. And he was like, nah, you're going to be an instrumentalist. So wow. It was just understanding that. And then understanding that school costs money. And I had to pay to go to New School. I got almost free scholarship. Not almost free, but I got an almost full scholarship. Back then it was $28,000 a year. I had to pay $1,500 a year or something like that. I went to the Blue Note and I became a hostess. And that's how I paid. Period.
Hey. Like,
I worked at the Blue Note from 5 p.m. to 4 a.m. I met Chick Corea. I met Ray Brown. That's how I really got close to Robert Glasper. I got close to Eric Lewis. I got close to so many people because I was there from 5 p.m. to 4 a.m. And I was the one that you had to see to get your money. Right?
Oh, yeah. That job falls on, you still on the host. You hand over the check at the end of the night.
Oh, well, you still fall on the gift shop girl. To hand over the check for the CD sale.
Oh, for the merch.
Right. So I remember cashing out Chick Corea many of nights. Okay.
Oh!
It was a special time. It was a special time. Yes, it was a special time because I got to see artists, but it was also a special time because I had to grind to get through college. Fast forward, I went on tour and realized that there was people on that stage that never got a degree and made the same as me. So I was like, what do I really do with this? What do I want this degree for? And I don't feel like they speak to our children enough on what to do with a degree. They'll say, you should go to college, but for what? And what will that degree do? Because you can get yourself mm-hmm. in a bunch of debt, never finish college, and just have debt and owe the system.
Yeah.
You're speaking on today, child. Mm-hmm. you came with a word on your heart.
Talk about it.
I taught for 10 years in the charter school system. Okay, so it's even harder. So then when I went into teaching, I really saw all the politics. I was a new teacher, so I was hired in a charter school, which usually charter schools can't afford older teachers, and that's the reality, which means that those students suffer unless that teacher wants to advance. I went on, got my master's at Lehman College, and then I really saw what you're asking me, which is what are the intricacies of this education? And I saw that if you do not live in a nice neighborhood where your student can go, your child can go to a nice school, you're not going to get a good education. And that's what's sad about it. Mm-hmm. I'm actually going back to teach on Monday at my old high school just for the end of the year. Unfortunately, the teacher that was brought in had to leave. For some unfortunate situation. And I'm coming in to finish the year.
Yeah.
This is at LaGuardia?
No, this is at a high school that I taught in Uptown.
Oh, the high school you used to teach at. Okay.
Mm-hmm. And so I'm going to finish the year because I do miss my babies. I developed an after school program where half of them didn't even know how to play an instrument. And by the end, they were playing homecoming, 3 or 4 songs. Yes, like by themselves with a form, you know, singing. Yes. I love to play with them. And so I realized that in one part that was my way of giving back to the community when I was home and not touring. Mm-hmm. And I did that for 10 years, not in that school, but in different schools. Mm-hmm. In years. And so what I believe of education is that if you're a parent that doesn't have it, there are many institutions out there that you can get your student or your student, I'm talking as a teacher, but your child in that are free if you look. Unfortunately, if you just expect the student, your child to do it and the school to do it, you're setting yourself up. So that's where we're at with that. And mm-hmm. that's a topic that I can stay a whole like hours and hours. Mm-hmm. Does. Now, me developing a curriculum to go into that, this curriculum is totally different. This curriculum is called Body Movement Class, Dance Class for Musicians and Vocalists. Now, how many times have you gone into a performance space and you just saw somebody there like,
dry.
Why not take all of me? And you're over there like,
well, if they sing it with that voice, we would be kind of like, we still be like, okay, yes. So you're singing though.
But still,
I know what you're trying to say.
It's like a recital vibe.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Same thing with musicians. There could be cats that are like blowing, right? But then what happens is that you then get pinpointed to a certain genre, jazz, mm-hmm. right? Where you're only then called for certain gigs at mm-hmm. certain places. I want us to think about this as a numbers game. When you get into the music business, some people say, well, I want to get into music business. I want to show my peers that I can make a living in the music business. That is very true. But how? How can you make a living? Will you make a living going to, I was about to name a jazz place and then I was like,
name it.
Go black for me. You know what? You're right, because I'm not going to probably play there ever.
Yeah, we want some smoke. Let's go.
That's actually it. Smoke jazz club. Boom. $75 for what? I don't know how many sets they try to pull people in.
Yeah.
They still doing that?
I've never played there because of that. Okay? Because they called me when I was in college and I had already passed that. Thank mm-hmm. God. But with that being said, you think about that and you're like, okay, what type of gig do I want to play? Even if it's in the jazz genre, do I want to play at the Portrait Gallery in DC and play a jazz gig? Or do I want to play at Smoke and play a jazz gig? Do I want, are we talking K or are we talking hundreds, mm-hmm. right? Or not even at that.
Right.
What do we need to bring in a K? So usually when you're talking a portrait gallery, you're talking Jazz Kennedy Center, you're talking those gigs, you're talking people like Chris Bode. You're talking people like, I don't want to call him his name because he changed his name. Chief
Abdullah. Chief Abdullah.
We're talking presence. Those two people, totally different, same instrument, right? But they bring something to the stage that someone else might not bring, right? And those two people can grace that same stage because they bring presence. They bring a movement in some type of way, even if it's just, right? What do you bring to that stage?
Yeah.
How do you connect to that audience from that stage to the audience? And then take it out of the jazz genre, which is more of my specialty, in that pop funk field, in that commercial field. What are you doing when it comes to the cameras? What are you doing when it comes to those hits? What are you doing when it comes to the body fluency? When it comes to that, that we're talking now a different budget. We're talking about a different genre, right? Yeah. We talk about, I want a gig that sustain my bills. That is a gig that sustain your bills. But do you have all of the technique and skills that you need to go into that next genre? Because then you have people, and I have this conversation with my mentor, Antonio Hart, all the time. Mm-hmm. I love him. He's my big brother. And, you know, we talk about the fact that he got to play with Luther Vandross once, and he said, man, you know, I think about all of the work that I've done, because he did a lot of work. Roy Hargrove, albums. Mm. Talk about it, right?
Yeah.
And he made that presence, but then the other presence that we talk about a lot that I didn't understand was a presence when it comes to a bigger stage, when it comes to moving, when it comes to connecting with just one note, which is something that he's always talked about. One of my first lessons was, are you listening to Johnny Hodges? And Johnny Hodges is all about tone. It's not about that. It's we swap da ba da da. Tone. You know what I mean?
That earth moving tone.
Tone. It's all about tone. So is that tone and that and that pull. So if we take that out and we then say, let's talk about that time when Johnny Hodges was in. Duke Ellington understood what presence was. Count Basie understood what presence was, right? Mm. Billie Holiday understood what presence was. Ella Fitzgerald understood what presence was. They came on that stage, and they didn't have to do a dance routine, but they worked that stage.
Yes.
Yeah.
They moved that stage. They moved their body. They talked to the instrumentalist. They spoke to the instrumentalist. Mm. They walked to the other side and just, you know, so there's a disconnect that I feel that needs to be addressed, and this curriculum is going to that.
These students are so blessed and lucky because what I'm hearing in this is that you have on the field experience and you're still making time to educate. Oftentimes when you're busy in the field, you don't have the time or capacity or sometimes the desire to make sure that the people behind you are getting the tools that they need for now. One of my biggest critiques for the new school was a lot of them teachers had no gigs, was doing no shows. How are you teaching me something? You don't even know what's going on right now. Like you're clueless.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? Why? What do you have to share with me? How are you helping me survive today? What is a skill that you're giving me that, like you said, I'm going to be able to support myself?
Yes.
Because people, I think the average person's like, oh, you could be a doctor, be a lawyer. But there's actually a space where if you're a skilled musician with these skills that you're talking about, you can clock in just the same way someone with an office job is clocking in. There is a space for that in music if you got the skills.
Right.
There's so many musicians that I know that are living in mansions. No debt, no tax issues. Literally do not have a 9-to-5 to fall back on, right? There is a space for it. I think that it's like saying, yeah, you can become a lawyer, but what type of lawyer? Are you going to be in the county law? Are you going to be representing in the hood? Are you going to be, it's different.
Are you a government issued lawyer?
Are you a government issued lawyer? Like, what?
So, like,
you got to be careful because unfortunately the society will try to make it seem that our job is less than. In fact, during the biggest pandemic that we've lived through, we've understood that we held it together for everyone.
Yeah.
As musicians, if we weren't here, I don't even know what would have happened. You know, imagine if we couldn't spread art.
Yeah. We lifted spirits. We lifted souls, people's mental capacity. We addressed issues that people couldn't address. We talked directly to what's happening in society and are a voice for people that are unheard. And I just love the perspective that you're bringing with this curriculum, because we've talked about music education with some of our other guests on the podcast, but this piece in particular, we haven't talked about what's missing from the curriculum in those ways. Like, talk about what's missing, like financial information or like information that'll help you sell yourself as an artist. But when it comes to stage presence, like that, and understanding what that means and what that looks like in your body and as an artist, it's so not there. It's such a one-sided curriculum of, oh, this is jazz history, and this is how you have to play. Learn these changes, learn these standards, da 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 da, and that's it.
And that's it. So I'll give an example. I did a gig this weekend, which I was called for two parts of that gig. It was a corporate gig. The first part was the cocktail hour, mm-hmm. which was a full band. A jazz band. It was a drummer, bass player, guitarist, pianist, three horns, vocalists, and two string players. Then the crossovers, they took everyone out except for the people that were more comfortable, I would say, with a DJ. So now it's horns, DJ, and djembe, and whatever the violin is ever comfortable,
yeah.
right? Cool. Which is now a hybrid gig, what's known as a hybrid gig. Now, two out of four people got taken off the stage. Literally the reason was because the people just wanted a view and just wanted to have fun. That's what was paying out of this gig. Now, I got paid for both sides of this gig. But the one that paid more was not the one that I was reading and playing all the changes. And that was just the cocktail hour. That was just an hour and a half, 2 hours.
Mm-hmm.
Then you have the 4 hour just big set. And that's real. That's real. And I don't think that people talk about that enough. It's just, yes, you have to have those changes. Yes, you need to get know certain things. But you also need to know part of this industry that we don't talk about. Like knowing that you just don't sign a contract right away. And we talk about that so much, but people really don't understand that some contracts say anywhere in this universe, not in this world, not in this earth. Like, I've signed a contract.
Not in this state.
On this universe. Like, if you go to Mars.
You still owe us.
Not if you go to Mars.
Oh my God. Okay.
What? I was like, I had to be like,
universe. I'm gonna put that. I'm going to the moon.
Wild.
Does this say universe? You know what I mean? We don't talk about those things. We don't talk about how that piano player or the assistant to the MD might be your next MD.
Mm-hmm.
Might be the person creating your contract.
Yeah.
Might be the person that you need to talk to. So there's so much missing. There's the financial.
Yes. I mean, imagine it would be great to sit in a class and them to pull up on the screen or board or whatever they're using these days. Hey guys, this is a template of a contract with a venue, a current venue. And they'll look at it. When you first look at a contract for the first time, it's very overwhelming. But once you start looking at them, like you can go to, there's certain spots and places that you go to be like, oh, okay, I know what I'm looking for here. I know keywords in exclusivity clause. I know keywords in radius, whatever.
Right. If you're 100 miles from home, you will not get per diem. How about
per
that?
Per diem, yeah. Right. Like all those things. Right.
All those things. All that,
yes.
Yeah. So we don't talk about that. I hope that my curriculum will expand to that. But right now I am focused on the next thing that I have taken 10 years. The last 10 years of my life, I did focus on my son. That happened because my dad passed away and I got a divorce and life was lifing. And so I took 10 years off to focus on my son, and he's a brilliant young man that is going now to Berkeley next year.
Hey, congratulations, Lil Key.
He's still celebrating jazz school.
I'm so excited that he's going there.
That's great.
He's, you know, he's off, and so now I get to live that life that I put on hold. And I'm just grateful that I'm able to, because there's some people that are not. And I am grateful. Yeah. I give blessings to Jah every day. I just thank God every day for just allowing me to just come back and say, okay, here's some music. And here's, you know, you have to do a lot. I don't know how you do it, girl.
Yes.
But being your own person, just pushing your music is exhausting.
It's exhausting. But I think even though we've never gotten like that close, we haven't hung out like that, what I've always observed from you is that you seem like a fighter. Like, you're like, nah, I ain't going out like that, bro. Like, if I have to go back and restart, reimagine, like, you know, rework it, I'm going to do that. Like, I see that about you. And that's very inspiring, because sometimes these big obstacles or these experiences that you're having, like, what? That's how that went? It could really kill your spirit and make you just be like, F this, man. I'm out, bro. But like, how beautiful that you're like, all right, my kid is all right. You know, I've served other people's endeavors, and now it's time for me to put out my life's work. Like, how exciting, and what special, like, perfect timing right now too. Like, I feel like what you're creating, we need it right now. You know?
Yes. And I speaking of like choosing you and focusing on your artistry, you're not just Catty Rodriguez, you're also Orange Coffee. And can you tell us, like,
where that name come from? Yeah. What is that? What's Orange Coffee? Because at the time your hair was kind of like auburnish, so I was like, is it like giving because of the hair color? Like, what is it? What's the tea?
Yes, tell us who she is, because I know she like a Sasha Fierce or something.
I like her.
It's giving.
No, I got that name a long time ago. Like, I was trying to put a group together a long time ago, and it didn't work. But I brainstormed on a name forever, and I was like, okay, I'll put that in my back pocket. And to tell you the truth, I didn't understand where I got the name from until I did a lot of therapy sessions. That's the real truth. I'll start with the second part of the name, coffee. Coffee brings joy. Like, smell, if you smell, I smelled a certain smell today in a storage that reminded me of my first boyfriend. I was like, that's Issey Miyake. Like, I knew exactly what it was. And it brought a memory, a specific memory, the first time that I ever smelled that. Coffee is the same thing for me. I remember being in the first floor on the apartment on President and Rochester, and peeking around the corner, and my dad and my mom would be in the kitchen just talking about the day. And they would probably be the only time during the day that they were not arguing. That's straight up. Because they were always like bickering. They were always on each other's necks. But it was the first time one time in the morning that I remember they were laughing, they were joking. And so that, the smell of coffee really brings joy to me. Orange is my favorite color. It's vibrant. And I just always wanted a name that just stood out. Like, The Who stands out. Rolling Stone stands out. Indie IRE stands out. And so Orange Coffee stands out. And literally, I remember one day being like, Kat Rodriguez. And somebody after the show be like, what's your name again? And I'm like, Kat Rodriguez. Fast forward, I started doing Orange Coffee, and someone was like, Orange Coffee. Da-da-da. And I was like, they remember. So a name, a brand is so important, and it has changed my view. It has changed how I perceive things, how I feel. So it's just me. It's a little bit of me.
I love that.
We love that. And it definitely is strong. I feel like I remember when you sort of like announced the name, like it went viral in our community. Like mm-hmm. everybody was like, ooh,
like oh, yes.
And the music is dope. I love your sound because it's like, me and Uni were talking about this the other day. Like it's like,
it the
punk. To
the,
me, it's like punk.
That's what you're saying. And it in also, spirit, in yes. its spirit. Mm-hmm. And I was saying, like, it's giving like T-Boz that mm-hmm. raspy full.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
But then it's also saying, like, don't get it twisted. I'm a jazz girl and I will hit the changes on you. Like, mm-hmm. it's like understated there, like, as a, you know?
Yeah.
It's just like,
and versatile. Like chef's kiss. And you yeah, just released, awesome. You just released your first
Spanish album.
Spanish
record, yes.
Wait, you dropped an album?
No, I dropped an album.
I dropped a track yesterday. Well, it's a tease into a track that's going to be dropped at some point because I'm doing the first time. I'm just teasing people. So at some point in the next week, it's going to drop and I'm really excited. I'll go back to what you said. It's hard because it's crazy because I've been trying to pinpoint my sound. When people say, what's your sound? I'm like, I'm soulful. But I'm jazzy, but I'm R&B, but I'm hip hop. But I'll throw a little salsa in there. And it's more, not even salsa, it's more like rumba. Because mm-hmm. I have a lot of that in me. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. Like I remember the first time that I sang, it was a song that I wrote for Bridget Barkin. I had a all-female band called Addictive Mama back in the day. It really wasn't all female though, because I had Kenny Grahouse on drums, Keon Harrell on trumpet, Dusty Boykins singing background.
Oh my God, Dusty.
And Chris Fur on backgrounds too.
Oh, Chris.
But it was like, we had Pele Pele's daughter, Jennifer Nascimento on drums. We have Bridget Barkins on vocals.
Shout out to Bridget.
Viva De Concini on guitar. We had a lot of people just go, Goosey Celeste.
Goosey Celeste, our Haitian sister. Yes.
Oh my God.
We had a lot of
people.
Man, it was crazy. But I remember writing my first song and I was like, Bridget, I need you to sing it. And she was like, okay. So she sang it. I was like, no, it don't go like that. And she was like, well, sing it. I was like, brown sugar lips, eyes which keep me in bliss. All the things I want to feel is just one kiss, something like that. And she was like, yeah, I can't sing it like that. And I was like, why not? And she was like, because you have a lower voice than me and you have a raspy voice. And I was like, yeah. Well, I need you to sing it like this. Like, well, you sing it. And I was like, but I'm not a singer. And she was like, who said?
Who said? Do not let anyone say who you are.
Boom.
Period.
Or don't let your past experiences limit you to thinking that you're what you were.
Mm, yes.
Boom. And so I started singing, and I remember the up over Jazz Cafe, Bilal was singing one day. He was like, come on up. And I sat in, I scattered, and back then, people like Georgia Muldro lived in New York. And
shout out to Georgia, another new school girl.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So it was a hang, like there was a hang there, and I remember sitting in, and everybody was like, "Why don't you sing?" And when people there was like, "Why don't you sing?" I was like, "Oh, like I really should sing because my peers actually respect what I'm doing." Sometimes you really need the people that you look up to. To say, yo, you dope, you know?
Yeah.
And that's what started it.
Oh.
Make an appearance.
Who was that? Anita or Luther? Anita, crazy.
Appearance.
A little Anita. For those of you who are listening in, Uni's kitten Anita just pulled up to the scene and was like, "What up, y'all?"
The camera, like,
like, what's good? So that's right. What we're dealing with right now. This is like so interesting. I feel like every time we like get in juicy like this, I'm like, damn, we need to do a part two because there's like so many
so much
more things. Like,
but I do want to ask you, you do have something coming up on Thursday, April 18th at 8 p.m.
Yes.
And it's your body movement class for musicians, which is the curriculum that you're talking about.
Yes. So we're doing a launch and I'm so excited because it's featuring Amari Monster. And if y'all don't know who she is, y'all got to go check her out. She's the one that did the solo in, she did two solos. She had a solo in the hole when she was like, body, body, give me that body. And she's a big chocolate.
Wait, the solo in what?
Girl, okay. It's Renaissance.
Renaissance.
So she's the co-captain for Beyonce's.
I'm looking at her now. Oh, she's
fire. Okay. And she will be leading this class with me so that we will be introducing linear and directional positions for musicians, but from the perspective of a dancer, so that I'm there understanding what it is to have an instrument and something outside of your body. But then she's there to understand how to create those beautiful lines, you know?
Wow. So
the first that I've never seen, that's why I said, I've never seen this happen.
No one's ever done this. No one's done this. Like, this is mad original.
This is.
I hope you copywriting this whole concept, like, because, you know, people are going to try to steal.
Oh, yeah. I already know.
You already know because this is fire. Yeah. Now, see, I know how to move my body because I be dancing and stuff. But for the musicians who don't have any movement experience, are they going to be able to keep up? Like, who can come to this class?
Yes. So it's $10. We're doing it as a dance class. And I want you to think about it exactly as a dance class. Just come in. You don't have to remember a horn line or anything. Bring your horn. Bring a microphone. If you're comfortable in heels, bring those heels because we want to make sure that those lines are sexy. If you're not comfortable in heels, wear those comfortable pumps. Those comfortable sneakers. It's all good. Like, we want to start you off where you are at so that you get those linear lines when you're on stage. Sometimes we forget because we want to just think about our, you know, the set. But when you actually add that part into it, it really does create a unique bond with the audience. So,
Uni, we should go to this.
Yes.
I should come.
Yes.
I need it. Y'all should be my guest. I will.
Really?
Yes. Bring your
food.
Bring your instrument. Y'all are my guests.
Great.
I got
it. Yay. Field trip.
Yes. Listen, Long Island City. Oh, and the dope part is, it's going to be in an all-women-owned dance studio, Long Island City. Her name is Michelle Beard. She's dope. And she heads it. It's called Ladies of Hip Hop Dance Studio.
Oh, yes. I know Michelle. Oh, Ladies of Hip Hop.
Oh, really?
Ladies of Hip Hop. I love it.
Is this class just for the ladies or can gentlemen come too?
Gentlemen, we want everyone.
All genders welcome.
I'm going to have my son in there.
Little Key's coming.
Yes, because we want to make sure, if you saw the last video on my post, it's a video of me actually teaching people from Carnival Cruise going to the cruise. These are all people that are older. This is not only for younger folks. If you are, it doesn't matter what age, you can come in. If you're 15, if you're 40, if you're 60. I taught a 65-year-old at Brooklyn College. So, listen, it doesn't matter what age you are. If you have a vision, if you have something that makes you happy, let's have fun.
Ooh, I'm excited about this. Ooh, the people need this.
Yes.
Okay, and if people are like tuning in now, we're going to have it tagged, but people need to go to @orangecoffeemusic to be tapped in with all the things. The algorithm is very annoying because I didn't realize that you teased the new single. So everybody make sure you follow, set your notifications on so you could be the first to tap in.
You know what helps the algorithm? If you go to someone's page, you follow them, and then you like a couple of posts. So I need y'all to go to Kat's profile, Orange Coffee.
Orange Coffee.
Like, go check out her page and like the posts so that it falls into your timeline.
Yes. Let's support our friends. That's something that I don't feel that we do enough. Mm-hmm. If you have a friend out there, support them like they're Beyonce. Beyonce happens to be my friend, so I support her. But if a lot of people don't know Beyonce, so they don't they support her, but don't support their friends. Make sure that you support your friends. Support them. Yeah. If you're willing to go and pay $500 to see somebody that you don't know, why can't you go pay $30 to see somebody that you do know?
Amen. Amen. And also, like, I don't know. I feel like there's people gonna think I'm being shady, but also, like, pour into yourself so that you can be confident enough to support your friends. Because sometimes people don't have the capacity to like, you know what I mean? Like, be present for you because they know that they not even doing day work. So instead of being like, like hating or not supporting, do your work. You know, especially women in the industry, men, everybody out here. There's a lot of excuses, a lot of reasons why things don't happen, blah, blah, blah. But like, and as much as we're talking about spirit being present, what are the add-ons that we can do to really elevate what we're doing? Let's also, you talking about practicing. I hate practicing too, bro. I never liked practicing. I never liked it. And now more than ever, like, forget about it. I only practice if I have a gig. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not like really in the practice. That's something that I know I need to work on. So, you know, it's interesting because we're not little kids anymore. You know, we're working musicians. So it's very easy to like low-key be like, But I encourage all of us guys, let's have like a practice pact or something.
I feel like people don't, you don't have to practice what other people practice. Practice what you want to be good at, your craft.
Yes.
I feel when people say practice, it goes over their head like, oh, I got to do all of this. And because I haven't done it, now I'm playing catch up. And then they're like, no, that's not what we're saying. What we're saying is, let's say you don't know anything. You're starting from zero. What is it that you want to be great at? Mm-hmm. What is it? Think about that. If you want to be great at scatting, go learn yourself some Ella Fitzgerald. If you want to be great at soul, go and hear Billy, or go hear Jill, or go hear Minnie, or go do your homework and learn five songs. Start with five songs and go to a jam session. Learn then eight songs. Be able to do just a 45-minute set. Like, literally.
Yeah.
It's that, like, that's the first steps. So, feeling like, oh my God, what can
I do? It's a mountain.
It's not a lot. Yeah. Really, learn eight songs. Then create a set list for yourself with those eight songs and start from there. Because reality is that sometimes with this culture, you see everything on social media, you feel like you are playing catch up. You're not playing catch up. You're only playing catch up with yourself. What do you want to be?
What are you doing?
For me, I want to be a great person when it comes to my music. I don't necessarily want to learn other people's music right now. I did that. But
you did that.
Right now, I'm learning my music. I'm putting my music out. That's what I want to be great at. So when you hear, listen now, that's me. I'm not competing with Melanie Charles because she has her own music. That's what she's trying to say, y'all. What she's trying to do. Be confident in you so that when you go to Melly Charles concert, you can be like, sing, girl, because you're so confident in you and your song and in your lane. And you are not worried about what somebody else is doing.
Oh, I have goosebumps. You said that so beautifully. Like, I feel like you done therapied me today. I don't know about you, Uni, but I feel like very healed and like fortified, you know? But before we go, we gotta do our ritual of Uni's chill trivia. But I feel like you're gonna ace it because you know your shit. So, but let's see. Let's see if you can get her.
Yes. We do
let's
trill see. Trivia. We do trill trivia. It's fun. Don't get anxiety. We learn, we have fun.
Okay.
It's a good time.
Mm-hmm.
We're here for a good time, not a long time, you know.
Yeah.
That's what we do with Trill Trivia. But before that, I just want to say thank you. Thank you for paving a way. I didn't get a chance to say this, but me personally, as an alto saxophonist, as a Puerto Rican and Dominican woman, seeing you do your thing is just something that I needed, because there's not a lot of us in these spaces, especially with a saxophone in your hand. So thank you. Like, your presence, your life, your music means a lot to me. So I just want to say thank you.
It's not going to make me cry before. So like, you're not crying yet. Not crying.
For thank the you. Record.
That's very sweet of you. Thank you very much.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you. Okay, what's our theme song for this, Mel? Oh, yeah.
Oh, you gotta shed the theme song. I feel like we got now Kai's here. I'm like, I wish our theme song was better now.
Well, you
no,
know.
We get the theme song. No. Come on.
Oh, yes, it's Jeopardy. It's Jeopardy.
It's Jeopardy. We need an original one. Maybe you can help us come up with an original one.
It's Jeopardy. But it's hard because we know we on the internet. So
right.
You gotta jazz chillify it. You
yeah,
know
we
saying?
Do.
Right.
Oh my God. Okay,
I'm dead. Okay.
All right. Trio trivia question number one. Which alto saxophonist did not record with Miles Davis? Is it A, Cannonball Adderley? B, Kenny Garrett? C, Jackie McLean? Or D, none of the above?
Did not? The question is did not, right?
Yes. Or D, all of the above. Or no, none of the above.
Did not.
Did not.
Because they all recorded with him.
Ding, 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 ding.
I was like, you trying over here trying to mess me up, but I'm like, did not?
Like, You got it right.
Nice. Yes, 1 point for Kat. Yes! Yes!
Like, they all recorded with
him. Yes.
Nice.
And that was a reprise of our true trivia question when Casey Benjamin was on our podcast. So.
Aww.
Shout out. Nice. All right, you got 1 point. And
that's hilarious.
Question number two. Which luminary jazz family recorded with vocalist Nancy Wilson? Is it A, the Jones Brothers, Thad, Hank, and Elvin Jones? B, the Heath Brothers, Jimmy, Percy, and Tootie Heath? Rest in peace, Tootie Heath.
Rest in peace.
C, Cannonball Adderley and Nat Adderley.
C.
Day, 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 day.
No, man,
even Day Day know that answer. That one was easy.
I know. It was an easy one.
Literally my favorite album of all time.
Exactly.
Of all
me too.
Time.
Yes.
Of all time. Is Nancy Wilson and Cannonball
Adderley.
I was like, she better say Cannonball at C, because if she don't say C, I don't know what D is.
Isn't it funny that album doesn't have a title? There's no title for that album, really.
Yeah.
You notice we always just say the Nancy Wilson Cannonball Adderley album. We never say the name.
It's just like quartet or whatever, and that's it.
It's like it's basically their mixtape, because apparently they did it in like two sessions.
Two sessions, yeah.
They kind of like threw it together.
Because the end of it is all him.
It's just.
Yeah.
So that's very Jason Marshall put me onto that album. He changed my life for putting me onto that album.
Yep.
That's okay. Dave. So this next one might be a little harder.
Okay.
But it's the last question.
Oh.
Wait, so 2 points so far for Orange Coffee.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You're doing better than a lot of people.
Yes, you are.
Okay, let's see if I can go out with a bang.
Okay. Which saxophonist recorded with vocalist Phyllis Hyman?
Oh, see, this is when you're going to get me.
Is it A, Benny Golson, B, Grover Washington, C, Maceo Parker, or D, Gary Bartz?
C. Okay. We're going to do process of elimination.
Okay. Okay.
Give me those again. Give me those people again.
Oh, sorry. Benny Golson. Mm-hmm. B, Grover Washington. C, Maceo Parker. Or D, Gary Bartz.
I know this one.
It's either A or D, and I'm going to go with A.
You're so close.
I should have gone with Gary Bartz.
It was Gary Bartz.
Yeah. Album is beautiful. She killed it. I was shocked when I heard that recording.
Oh.
See, bet you by like, golly wow.
See? 2 out of 3, Summer. I learned something new today.
Gary Bartz's intro solo on Bet You by Golly Wow. Y'all gotta check that out.
Oh, I gotta check it out. I have not heard that album.
It's so good. It's so good.
Okay.
Shout out to Gary Bartz. Gary Bartz is very trill. Okay, we need to get Gary Bartz on the show.
Oh,
actually.
God, that's a dream.
Oh, yeah.
He's mad chill. I ran into him outside of Blue Note, and I was like, hi, Mr. Bartz. Like, thank you for your music. He was like, what's your name? I was like, Melanie Charles. He was like, oh, I know you. I was like, stop it, Mr. Bartz. I'm going to drop dead right now. Don't tell me that. Yeah, so he's like tapped in. He's like one of the OGs that like to know like what people are doing. Mm. Shout out to Gary Bartz, yo.
Yes. That's right.
Okay, so 3 points for Orange Coffee. Yay! Yeah!
I got only 2 points because I didn't get it right.
Well, we're giving you 3 right. Because we love you.
Because you're that shorty. You're that one.
I was like, it's either A or D, but I went with A. I should have went with D because Benny, I was doing it by timing. And I was like, damn. Benny Golson is older, so that would have been older. I should have. It's all good.
No, you're good, though. You're good, though.
We learned something new today.
It's fun, right? Children is fun.
Hell yeah.
I like this.
thank you so much, Kat, for today, for inspiring us, for sharing experiences. I feel like you said earlier, you shared some stuff that you never really talked about. So I feel like we got like some exclusive, you know, special information. So thank you for your generosity in that way. And we encourage our listeners to tap into the beautiful music. I love that we barely even talked about the fact that you toured with Beyonce for so many years. I think for a lot of people, like that's like they're like shining, like that's all they would have to talk about. And like there's so much more to you. And I'm just so happy that we were able to like focus on those things. But also, yes, now when y'all Google and y'all look back, yes, that's Kat. Yes, right next to Beyonce. Yes, that's her.
And I went to that Renaissance tour and I was like,
major crazy. Look, you didn't even realize. Yes, that's her.
Mm-hmm. You know, one thing that I learned from her publicist, Yvette Noshore, she's a beautiful Grenadian woman. When you walk into a room, you walk in as who you are, not who you've worked for. So if you're not confident in who you are, the person that you are, you know, nothing matters. Your resume doesn't really matter when it comes to showing up. And really showing out when it comes to that, you know, it does matter. Your resume, you know, you have to hear that in context, y'all. Your resume does matter, but when you walk into the room, your resume does not make you who you are.
Yes.
You are the person you are when you walk into that room without the resume. So remember that.
Ooh. I love that. That's a beautiful closing word, benediction for us. Mm-hmm. We hope that those of you who have been listening have enjoyed this episode. Let us know if you need a part 2. I already feel like I need a part 2. We have this little ritual that we do that I say, whatever you do, and then Kat, you would say, remember to, and then all together we say, make jazz trill again.
Okay.
So you down? You ready for it? All right. Thank you so much for listening. I'm your girl, Melanie Charles. Shout out to my co-host, Yunima, and our special guest, Kat, aka Orange Coffee. And whatever you do,
remember to
make jazz trill again. Yeah.
Love y'all.